Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
I'm excited because we get to continue our series in the book of John. And I don't know if any of you guys read the book of John at all. How about John chapter 1? How great was that last week when Martino got to share with us? I loved it. It was such a good message, such a good introduction to the book of John and really God's heart and getting like the big picture of what it's going to be like really to study in John. And so we're going to be continuing on today in chapter 1. So, I mean, I don't know. We could have gone on to the next chapter. But we're going to, if I'm being honest with you, we're going to kind of take this week by week and see where we go, because I do not want to miss a thing that God wants to say to us as we're in this, as we're in this book. So with that in mind, I felt like God had a word for us from the second half of the book of John. And so I'm going to start by reading John 1 verses 19. Man, I think I'm going to just read it because I think it's God's word and I think it's really good. All right. So, and then I'm going to highlight 4 points. Okay. So this is your Bible reading for today. All right. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Okay, so John was baptizing people. Now the next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Now the next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Okay, so early in the day. That's cool. All right, so one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. All right. Then the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." In other words, he was saying to him, "You haven't seen anything yet. You're impressed by that? Oh my gosh, you have no idea what's coming. You have no clue." And this is just John's firsthand account of what he saw when Jesus first showed up on the scene. And I just want to say four things about this. There's a lot that could be said, but there's four things that I want to highlight from these verses. The first one is recognize. All right? I see in this that Jesus was recognized. John 1:29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Lamb of God, our Savior who takes away sin. Do you ever, you know, see somebody famous? You recognize them? Like, I was at Disneyland one time and I was seated on the train and I looked to my right and I see this guy with enormous arms. And I was like, "Who has arms that are so big? Like, that's crazy." I was like, "I recognize that guy. That's Mark McGuire. I know it." And I looked over and I was like, "That is definitely Mark McGuire." Like, I recognized it. I knew it when I saw him. Now, John the Baptist, cousins, right, with Jesus, I'm thinking he should have recognized him, right? Like, I mean, he knew, "Oh, that's Jesus, right? My cousin." Like, I would think that they would know each other. I don't know. I'm guessing that since their moms hung out before they were born, I'm going to guess that they saw each other, okay? So he recognized him, but then he recognized him on a whole other level when he saw God's anointing on his life, and he recognized it. He didn't go, "Oh, that's just my cousin Jesus." No, it was like he saw God's spirit and he said, "Oh, I recognize that. I see that." And I don't know about you, but I know for me is I often pass by people and I don't recognize them. I'm sorry to say that, but that is true. And part of it is just because I'm like, I have like a vivid imagination. And so when I'm walking around or driving around, I'm not always paying attention to certain things. Like, my mind could be somewhere else. And I could be walking right up on my husband. But if I'm not expecting to see him in a certain place or situation, I've had a couple times where I hate to admit it, but I did not recognize him. I was like, all of a sudden, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you're here. Wow. Okay." Like, because, you know, I think for me, it's that I'm not paying attention. if I'm being honest with you, I think. And then sometimes we can see that there's something special on somebody and we feel like we know them from somewhere, you know, or you just, you look familiar to me. But we can't figure out quite what that is or where we saw him. Now, Matt's really great about this because if he sees a face, he never forgets a face. And it's weird because he could have just seen you once 15 years ago. And then he sees this person again and he says, I recognize that person. I saw them before. Okay? I don't know. Maybe you're like that. You recognize people right away. But what John the Baptist saw in Jesus, what he recognized in him, was not just, I've seen you before, or, oh, that's my cousin, or that's my aunt, or that's my husband. He didn't just recognize, like, oh, that's somebody I know, or, oh, that's somebody famous. Oh, I just saw Mark McGuire. I just saw Oprah, or I just saw the President of the United States. It's not like that. I recognize him. It was like he saw him with new eyes, and he recognized that he was the solution to the problem of the world. He was like, oh, that's the one that's going to solve our problem. That's the one who's going to be the Lamb of God. He's going to take our place so that the things that we are guilty of, we're not going to have to do the time for the crime, basically. Like, it's like, imagine you are guilty of a crime. You are at the courtroom waiting for the judge to sentence you, and you're thinking, am I going to get 5 years in prison, 10, 15, what's it going to be? And all of a sudden, the judge says, actually, that person over there is going to take the time, do the prison time for you. You don't have to do it. That's essentially what Jesus did for us. You know, like, we are guilty. We do deserve to do the time. And he says, I'm going to take that on for you. And it's like, wow. And John the Baptist recognized. He says, this guy is our savior. This guy is going to take our place when it comes to our brokenness and the sin that we have in our lives. But he recognized it. And I think that that's where it really starts for us, because, you know, we can go about our lives and completely miss the Savior, sometimes for years, right? But that moment that you recognize that Jesus is the Savior and that he has come to be the solution to your problem, that is the moment where everything in your life gets to change. So it starts with recognizing and having that moment where your eyes are open and you get to see clearly, you know? And like I said, it could be, oh, maybe I'm searching. Maybe you're at the place where you're searching and you're like, maybe Jesus is the answer. But then there's going to be a moment in your life where the lights come on and you go, aha, oh my gosh. He is the one who came to solve my sin problem, my brokenness. And then the next thing that I saw was how the John 1:39 and the words Jesus says, come and you will see. He's like, come follow me and you will see what's going to happen. Come follow me and you're going to see what I'm going to do. And so we recognize who Jesus is. That's like the first step. And then we follow him. And this is the opportunity that we all have. Just because you recognize who Jesus is does not necessarily mean that you're going to choose to follow him. There are a lot of people who will acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and they are not laying down their lives, putting down whatever it was that they were doing and choosing to follow Jesus. Sometimes I recognize people. Like, I recognize that guy, Mark McGuire, that famous baseball player that got all those home runs. And I didn't say a word. I did not get an autograph. I did not say anything because I'm like, ah, he's there with his children. You know, I'm not going to bother him. Just go about life. Okay. I recognize and it meant nothing. Just move on. But when you recognize Jesus is the Savior of the world, you have this opportunity to follow him. And that is kind of what we are embarking on. Like here, when we're at church, it's like, okay, I recognize something about Jesus, and now I want to try to follow him, okay? And this guy, Andrew, and another disciple, they heard John's testimony, and they followed Jesus. And I think it's like Jesus asking them to just step out in faith because they didn't really know what they were following him into. And I think most of the time, if I'm being honest, I want specifics on what I am following Jesus into. Well, I want to weigh the pros and cons. What exactly are you asking of me? You know, when people invite you to something, I hate it when I get an invitation and it doesn't say the start time or the end time. It just gives a date. I've had people invite me to parties and there's no location. They forgot to put the location. And I'm like, well, I need to know where it is because like that will impact whether or not I'm going to go because depending on where it is, it might be too far. I don't know. You know, like I want details. I want to feel like I have control. And I think that the whole point of following Jesus is also about trusting him. You know, it's like a kid that's learning to ride a bike, you know, and they get on the bike and the parent says, just trust me, I'm behind you. I'm going to make sure you don't fall, you know, and it's kind of scary because you're like, I can remember pedaling my bike thinking, oh my gosh, I hope I don't fall over, you know, and my parents say it's fine, but I'm like, and I think that in a lot of ways, this journey of following Jesus is a little, there's just a lot of trust involved because following him doesn't just mean I'll do what I want to do and I've got Jesus giving me a stamp of approval on it. Following Jesus means not necessarily knowing what he's going to be leading you to do and just being willing to say, okay, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you because I recognize that you're my Savior and you're worth following and you're worth trusting. So I'm going to do it. It's a lot of faith. It's a lot of trust. And then the other word that stood out to me was share. Share the good news. Because John 1:45 says, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. And Philip tells Nathanael about Jesus. And it's just kind of this thing where we see that one person recognizes and follows Jesus. And there's this thing about grabbing other people. You know, when there's a really good sale, you want to tell somebody about it. Like, if there were, let's say there's new Jordan shoes and they're on sale for $45 somewhere, that's a really good deal. And you're going to tell your friends about this really good deal. You're going to text your aunt or your cousin or your best friend and you tell them about the deal. Like this really great thing that's made a difference in your life. And I just wonder, if you recognize who Jesus is and then you follow him with your life and you're trusting him with your life, is he making a difference in your life? He's made a difference in my life. And I think that I can't help but tell people about the difference he's made in my life. My life is not perfect. My life is... There's good and bad, right? Everybody has good and bad in their life. But I have learned how to have peace in all of it, the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, because I'm trusting Jesus. I'm following Jesus. And so when other people experience things similar to what I've experienced, I can tell them, you know who I've followed? It's Jesus. I followed Jesus, and he's made a difference in my life. And this is why Jesus even has us here. He says, you will be my witnesses. You will tell the story of what happened, like the difference that I make. You're the one, because I'm not here anymore now. So Jesus is now back in heaven, and so now the Holy Spirit is now resting on each one of us. Right? When we decide to follow Jesus, then we get to have the Holy Spirit resting on us, and we are supposed to be sharing the good news. Are you sharing the good news of what Jesus has done in your life with anybody? Do you like to share that? I know that we're having a great time on our Tuesday night Connect group talking about what it looks like to share the good news of what Jesus has done in our lives. And I think that one of the biggest things is that sometimes we're afraid to share because we don't have all the answers. Or because maybe there's things in our life that aren't perfect. Or that we're still working out. And there's a scripture that says, actually, I'd rather boast about my weakness so that God's power can be made perfect in me, that God's power can be can show off in my life. So that's actually a part of it, is not saying, look, I'm a superhuman perfect person that does everything right all the time and everything in my life is just perfect. And I have actually learned that it's the things in my life that aren't so perfect where I'm able to actually share more about God's power in my life and how he makes a difference. And so let's not be afraid of those things. The challenges or the struggles, let's not try to get out of it prematurely. Allow God to develop his character in us, because then we're able to be an encouragement to others. And I know when you're going through something hard, do you want it to be like, oh, you're going to be able to share this with somebody else in the future and you'll be able to encourage them? No. I remember thinking that when my dad died. I was like, I don't want to learn how to handle this. No way. I don't want to be able to go through this and then share the difference that Jesus has made in my life. I'd rather just not have this be a part of my story at all. This is a horrible thing. Horrible. But years later, as I experienced God's healing, then I realized that God would actually just put people into my life who were experiencing loss on different levels, and I would be able to speak hope to them. And I have people come to me because they know that it's not like I pretended like everything was okay. It's not like I hid in alcohol or drugs or all sorts of other things that you can temporarily hide in when you're going through pain. I actually like went through it. And I experienced God's peace and healing through it, you know? And so your story, your pain points, the things that you think are happening to you, maybe can you reframe it and say, you know what? I think God is doing something in my life. And if God does something in your life, you're going to naturally somewhere find the confidence and the courage to want to share it with somebody else. Because that's what we were made to do. And then the fourth thing that I saw here was promise. Everything you recognize who Jesus is, you follow him, you trust him with your life, you share the good news with other people. There's a promise. And Jesus said, John 1:50, he said, you will see greater things than these. It's like Nathaniel moves from this skepticism to belief, and Jesus promises that greater things are yet to come. It's like the promise of Jesus, like we're able to see things even greater than what we saw before. I have friends that live in Half Moon Bay over the ocean. And it is a beautiful view of the ocean. It is gorgeous. But they also have a telescope. And has anybody ever used a telescope? They're amazing, okay? So they have this telescope, and I look through the telescope, and whenever I do, I always see things, first of all, more clearly, all right? I see things more clearly, but I also see things that weren't even there before, that I didn't see there before. They were there. I didn't see them. I can suddenly see birds flying in the sky, and I can see ships and sailboats and things that I couldn't, with my natural eye, I couldn't make it out before, but with the telescope, I can see stuff. And I'm like, whoa, that was there all the time. I think Jesus has this promise where when we have faith in Jesus, then we're able to actually see. He will show us greater things than we even imagined, greater things than we ever thought possible. And so I would say that, man, if you've recognized Jesus as your Savior, if you're in this room right now and you've recognized Jesus as your Savior, then you should be one of the most grateful, humble people on the planet, because it is only God's grace that allows us to recognize that Jesus is our Savior, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away our sins. And that is just, that is a grace moment. And so, man, the thing about Christians is we often get a bad rap because we give our lives to Jesus and then we act like now we're so perfect and so amazing. But this, John 1, what I see here in these verses is that we should just be on our knees saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That song, Amazing Grace, is depicting that thing that happens when we recognize our Savior. It's like we thought we could see things before. Oh, but we could not see. And now it's like suddenly I can see clearly. And I believe that what God wants to do for us is to give us eyes to see things more clearly. The things that are happening in our lives that don't make sense, to say, Lord, would you help me to see this with your eyes, with your vision? Would you help me to even see me the way that you see me? And then I love that God doesn't just see us as we are right now, but he sees us as we're going to be when he's done working on us, and that he's committed to us. He's committed to the process of making us more like him, that he would give us eyes to see other people through the lens of his grace and his love, and our world, the stuff that's happening in our world. Would we speak God's hope and God's truth and God's grace over people, even in the world? Like, when I see stuff happening and people are like, oh my gosh, this is the worst person in the world and this is the worst, I say, what if we could, as believers in Jesus, reframe how we talk about even the horrible things that are happening in the world and look for God's grace and look for God's hope and look for God's promise and speak good stuff over people. Speak good stuff over their lives. Like, let's be the people that recognize that God is powerful, that he is working in our midst. And could we reframe kind of how we see the stuff of life as opportunities for us to grow more surrendered to God, as opportunities for us to demonstrate the love of God? And I think that this is these verses are really encouraging. I know we're off to a good start. We're only into John chapter 1, but next week we're going to be into John chapter 2. And I hope that you're hearing the heart of God. John chapter 2 next week, it's going to be looking at when Jesus does his first miracle. So if you have time this week, in fact, I would say try to make time this week to read John chapter 2. Maybe read it more than once, or maybe just read a few verses each day. But it would be amazing if you would take the time to look at John chapter 2 and just ask God, like, what kind of things are you wanting to speak to me here? Where are you going to open up my eyes so that I can recognize where you are trying to work in my life? That I would start to recognize it and be quick to see that.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.